Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien here, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretire.com. I'm out of Mystic, Connecticut. Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9. Chris is laughing at me. FM, News Radio Now. Wonderful station, a lot of different opinions, and in America, great, where we can all have our different opinions and argue and go back, and then go get a cup of coffee together at Dunkin' or Starbucks. I always ask people, if somebody sends me a referral or something, I like to send them a gift card, and I always go, Dunkin' or Starbucks, and I try to predict ahead of time which they're going to say. Usually, if they're under 40, it's Starbucks, and if they're over 50, it's going to be Dunkin'. Not all the time, but generally speaking. Between 40 and 50, it can go, it can break either way. But I don't know what you guys prefer out there. I think Starbucks is a very powerful coffee, but it's expensive, very expensive. Dunkin', I like to prepay on that card, you know, the card they give you. And then if I have the app, you go in there and give you these free coffees off the app. You get that little code you put under the scanner and whatnot. So it makes it convenient. It's a lot of fun. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been a crazy week in the markets this week. The stock market's been very, very strong. You would think with all this trade talk, people would be scared, but apparently not, because the economy, I guess, is doing well. Jobs are being created. Companies are starting. We're still lagging here in Connecticut, unfortunately. Once again, we are flatlined on our house prices since 2012, and the rest of the country is up about 30%. So I'm very anxious to see if we can get some growth people in there in Hartford in November. Get growth going again here in Connecticut. We have so much potential. We have the people. We have the money. We have the location. We just need the leadership. We need the leadership to get us going again. And if we do that, there's no saying what we can't do. I mean, two out of three of my kids were in New York City. And that was, you know, they're chasing the dream, living the life. One son's working for a Google affiliate, and he's 24, and he says, Dad, I'm working for some of the smartest people I've ever met. He said, and I think it's wonderful. My other son works for a major TV network, and, you know, he meets a lot of people, and he's in the life, too. And they both have wonderful careers. My third son, the oldest boy, lives here and commutes up to Hartford every day from Mystic, and he has a great career, too. And two out of three boys are married. We're still waiting for grandbabies. We hope they'll come soon. Mama Bear is all ready. She's ready for the grandkids, so whenever they're ready, let us know. The youngest, of course, is in the dating scene in Manhattan. So I said, keep a journal. You got to write a book. I mean, come on. People all over the world be fascinated by the people you meet and the things you do, you know. Hope everybody's well out there. I know, it's been a tough week for, you know, some of the suicides we saw on the celebrity side. And it's very sad. I feel so bad for the children, if there are any. Feel so bad for the family members. And, you know, we want to help people, but sometimes, you know, they don't want to be helped. They don't want to be helped, you know. But, you know, some people are going to feel very, very guilty. I wish I could have helped and everything else. But some people, they don't want to reach out, you know. So if you feel like you're distressed or you got something going on, call a good therapist. You know, reach out. Sit in the room. Let the tears flow. Get it out. You'll feel a lot better, and you'll probably be a lot easier to live with, too, you know. And, you know, I think in many things, many people give up too easily. You know, I think we need to fight harder for the things we want, you know, whether it be financial security, a good relationship, a good marriage, you want to start a business, good job. You know, sometimes you're going to get pushback. Sometimes life's going to be very, very hard. You're going to have to fight for it, you know. You're going to go through rough patches in your marriage, you know. You're just going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to do things you normally wouldn't do. You're going to have to let the little stuff just pass. Anybody who's married will tell you there's something that irritates you about your spouse. And God knows there's stuff that probably irritates the heck out of my wife, you know. But you let the little stuff go. You know, you tease each other. I had two couples come in this week, both, you know, through the radio show, actually. And both had great vibe. You know, they were both laughing at each other. Both couples in their early 60s, they kind of laughed and goofed at each other. You could tell they'd known each other a long time. You could tell they were very, you know, very comfortable with each other. And the fact that they were both in there talking about their dreams, aspirations, getting organized for retirement, what do we need to do, what do we need to consolidate. And we had the hard talk about debt, because the debt is the big thing that if there's anything I won't compromise on, I'll compromise on a lot of stuff with you, and I'll tell you, oh, we'll work this out. You want more growth and income. We can all work that out. But the one thing I'm kind of a hard ass on, can I say that, Chris? Hard ass? Is that the semi-league? Chris says he doesn't care. Is debt. You know, I really, really, really don't want you to have debt or paying it way down when you retire. And the reason for that is this. It really takes a load off of you. It creates another income stream that you're not writing a check for. If something happens medically, you still have, you could take more risks that way. It lowers your risk level by a great deal. Okay. And it gives you flexibility if you want to move out of state. I'm meeting a lot of couples. I'm a retired nurse, been retired a year. And she says, listen, we still have about $100,000 owed on the house. The house is worth about $500,000. She says, but we're going to pay it down and probably the next year or two move to South Carolina. She says the real property taxes are about 25% of Connecticut. And she's figured they could save, between the property taxes, state income taxes and all that, they could save between $10,000 and $20,000 a year, which is serious money for a retiree. So that is going on out there. I'm not telling you all to move out of state, but it's a big indicator what's going on there and why our real estate prices have not gone up. We have continuous sellers leaving as they retire to go to lower cost states, okay, who are much better fiscally than we are. And although we're having people come into the state, many times they're coming in with not the same financial strength at the people that left. Okay. So that's one of the reasons we're having problems. And that leads to less job creation and everything else. So getting back to debt, we'll talk about that a little bit more on the break, and we'll talk about the things you need to do as you go to retire, and the things you need to plan during your accumulation phase. If you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, you're in the accumulation phase, 50s, 60s too, obviously. You're in the accumulation phase. And then eventually in the 70s and 80s, you switch to a distribution phase where you're starting to pay things out. And we'll talk about the different things you need to do during those two main phases in your life. We'll talk about a simple formula for living. And among other things, we'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. My number is 860-464-9490. If you have a question, call me anytime. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. America, Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. If you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com or call me at 860-415-9614. Forwards to my cell, so I'll even pick it up on a Sunday. So anyways, give a call anytime if you'd like an appointment. We never charge you for a free financial review. Sit down and talk, and let's see what's going on. I've had people calling lately off the radio show, making appointments to come in and chat. And many of them come in, and their first apprehension is what's it cost to sit down and talk and for an hour or two and everything else? And it doesn't cost you anything. The only time I'll charge you is when you give me money to run. But other than that, you can come in as many times you want. And if you don't even want to open an account, you don't have to. I've made a vow when I started my company 4 years ago to help anybody who asks for it, whether you're rich, poor, in debt, just need some help, need someone to bounce an idea off of, you just inherited some money, people are pushing you to make a dumb decision or a decision you really don't understand or feel equipped to deal with, give me a call. And if I don't know the answer, chances are I know someone that does, and I'll refer you into my network because we all need a good network. And anybody who doesn't have one, if I have a CPA tax question, I got a guy. I got an insurance question. I got a guy. I had lunch yesterday with a young lady named Michelle Dempsey, who's a Title 19 specialist. So if you know a senior that needs help obtaining government funding to pay for nursing home or long-term care costs and wants to apply to state, you know, Medicaid, the application is very complex. 21 pages, 5-year look backs. You got to present everything to them. Okay, so Michelle's job is you pay her to help you get, you know, get eligible, and she'll take you through the process. Sometimes she can help you, and sometimes she can't. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a pro helping me instead of rediscovering the wheel every time. And that's me on the retirement stuff. If you need help planning your cash flows, figuring out how to consolidate everything, simplifying everything, and then having a financial quarterback that'll be watching your accounts almost every day. I don't watch them on Saturday and Sunday because the markets are closed. But when the markets are open, I'm watching everything like a hawk. And if that's what you feel like you need or need some help in the accumulation phase, getting organized, because I'm a firm believer in using direct deposit to see your money grow. The money you set aside for savings never makes it to your checking account. You probably won't miss it. So if you can do direct deposit out of your checking right into the investment account, whether it's single or joint, whatever, it's a lot easier if you're doing that automatic investing, because we're a big proponent of automatic investing, paying yourself first, using the automatic millionaire process in the book by David Bach, which you can buy for $8 on Amazon. Buy it. Buy it for everybody. Give it to everybody at Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate this year. But true wealth is really generated by owning assets. You can create an asset by starting a company or inventing a product. If you work for a salary, it doesn't mean you can't become wealthy. It just means you need to divert some of your income into buying assets such as stocks, rental property, municipal bonds, etc. Your income is the result of trading your time and value for dollars. Since time is capped, there's a limit of how much you can make. Regardless of how much you make hourly, you should be able to get in the habit of converting your income into assets. So if you're selling your time, you know, you're working, you have a limited amount of time. So your income's going to be capped unless you start your own company and leverage off other people's time. That's how people become wealthy, is when they have 20 employees and they figured out a way to leverage their time into providing a product that people want. That's when real wealth is created. But you still can create wealth for yourself by diverting your dollars that you've used in a salary to create wealth over time and actually owning stuff. In my case, if you come to me, you can own stocks. You can own income. You can own treasuries. You can own whatever you want. But if you're a long-term investor, you got to own stocks. You can do it through an index, something cheap like a Vanguard, Total Markets, whatever. If you're starting with only, you know, a few $100, a few $1,000s, just buy the total market index and never sell it. Don't be a trader. Just, you know, keep adding to it, keep adding to it. Buy more of it when the market's down, and don't get involved in that trading stuff. And don't forget, you're never too old. So my not seniors, but soon to be seniors, you're never too old or too young to make a difference. You're the oldest you've ever been and the youngest you'll ever be. So don't limit yourself based on your age. Never say, when I'm older, I'll be able to. Never mind that. Kentucky Fried Chicken founder Colonel Harlan Sanders didn't become a professional chef until he was 40, and he didn't franchise Kentucky Fried Chicken until he was 62, and didn't become an icon until after he sold his company at 75. So look at that. Colonel Sanders, at 62 years old, went out. Boy, I'll tell you, I can identify with him. Now, don't forget, now you need an emergency fund to get you out of financial tight spots that might arise in the future. You'll also be able to sleep at night knowing that you have a backup plan. So if you have tens of thousands of dollars in credit cards and $800 in the bank, you got the thing upside down. You should have tens of thousands of dollars in the bank, and you should have $800 in credit card debt. Okay? So if you have it the other way and you're in your 50s, you better get going here and get some help, you know. And it's going to be a hard, hard lesson, but you better get going. And for your young people out there, the older people don't realize that when they turned 18, they didn't get 5 credit card solicitations a week. That's a recent phenomenon in the last 20 years, okay? The computers came in, and they could really track you, these private credit card companies. You older folks out there don't realize these kids are getting dinged. You go into Kohl's, Sears, any department store, any store. Hey, you want our card? Hey, you want our credit card? Hey, we'll take 20% off your bill right today if you take our credit card. They're getting dinged left and right. And, of course, if you buy online, which all these millennials do, what do you have? You either have a debit or a credit card. You have to. It's a cash. There's no cash going on here online. So be aware that these kids have also, when I was going to college, it was $2,000 or $3,000 a year to go to state, $8,000 to $10,000 a year to go to private. Now it's $20,000 to $30,000 for state, and it's $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 for private. So a lot of these kids have student loans that we never had. Okay? I was able to wait on tables down in New York, and I had greasy dollar bills, and I paid for college with my tips. Try paying for college now with your tips, you know? So a lot of these kids, they have student loans, and they're not kids anymore. They're in their 30s and 40s. They have these big student loans. So these things need to be planned for, okay, and need to be worked out and everything else, because it affects home ownership. If you got 50,000 student loans, you're not going to be able to afford as much a mortgage as you would have if you didn't have those student loans. So that compresses house prices too and whatnot. So, you know, that's one of the things. So no matter how much debt you build up in the form of student loans or credit card bills, it's important to put some money aside every month. It can be a small amount, but over time it'll accumulate and serve as your emergency fund. So don't use that as an excuse not to automatically save. The other thing is aim to keep your core expenses low. The moment you take on a high car payment or a new apartment lease, your freedom is limited. So what you've done is committed future income streams and diverted them to these new purchases or commitments. Okay? And that's a big, big deal. A lot of the older folks criticize younger folks because they don't have good impulse control. I want it now. I want it now. And they always save their money in an envelope. And when they had the cash, then they went to buy it. Okay? Where now, because of these debit and credit, it's so much easier just to impulse buy. And they want you to be dumb and do that. But I agree with the older folks. Use cash or just your debit that you put aside for any bigger purchase and everything else. And, you know, start a habit of saving and investing. As a financial planner, registered representative, my job is to align your investment portfolio with your goals and objectives. So if you are extremely risk adverse, you know, you're going to have to settle for 2 or 3%. And if you are more a person that says, I have a lot of money in the bank, down with this money, I want growth on, I'm going to go out there and buy you the Millennium stocks. Okay? Now, what are Millennium stocks? What are they? These are the stocks that the Millennials are using. These are the services that the Millennials favor. And a lot of them are online. A lot of them are changing retail, technology. These are the companies that I think are the new monopolies. They have a moat around them. Nobody can get into them because many times these industries were founded in a dorm room somewhere. Just think about that if you really think about it. The next big Millennium stock could be right now in development stage in a dorm room somewhere. Two kids sitting together planning something out that nobody has ever seen before and will create tens, hundreds of thousands of jobs because of an idea they came up with in a garage or in a dorm room. You know, only in America. Well, not just in America, but chances are it will be in America, okay? because you'll be able to go to the venture capitalists. You'll be able to get stage one, stage two, stage three financing. You'll be able to go out, you know, and get into that world, go out to Silicon and, or New York City and start that business. And only that can happen in America, I believe. You know, don't get me wrong, it's great companies, but if you really want to get economies of scale worldwide, you need to come to America to do it. And that's the great thing about our country. And the other thing is, don't rush into any large purchases. Sleep on them. I always tell people when they first come in the office and we meet and talk and everything else, I say, okay, let's open the account today. I go, no. Give me your paperwork. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to study it. Okay. And then I want you to think about what I said to you. We meet again the next time we can do the paperwork to open the accounts. It's a big deal when you pick a financial person. It's a big deal when you make a large purchase. So don't do it lightly. Always think on it. The last thing a car truck salesman wants you to do is walk out of the dealership. Okay? And that's exactly the thing you should do. Okay? Always think on things. Never rush into them. The best decisions are slept on and thought about and even discussed with someone you trust. Okay? Because they love to see you do a dumb impulse buy. So on the next thing, we'll talk about a bunch of other stuff. And if you have any questions, feel free to call in at 464-9490. And if you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to www.obrienretired.com. And we will email them right to you. We don't have to pay postage anymore. See you in a few. Bye-bye. America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 FM News Radio Now out of Ledyard, Connecticut. Across the street from Holdridge's, it's booming today. Everybody's out and about doing their Saturday morning errands. And when I get out of here, I have to go back to the office, have an appointment with a new potential new client, and then I'm going to walk over. My office is right next to Old Mystic Village. I think I'm going to walk over to the Mystic Food. What's it called? The Food Fair? Mystic whatever. I'm going to go over the Food Fair. There's a band called Fusion playing from 11:30 to 1:30, and they played at my son's wedding 3 years ago. So I like the Fusion people. They're wonderful out of Waterford. Good dance music. So I'm looking forward to seeing, maybe saying hi to them again. I haven't seen them in a couple of years and everything else. Now, the other thing that's very, very important, and we get back to talking about financial stuff, it's important to verify that every financial account that you have has a beneficiary listed. Now, this is a little tricky, okay? Now, let me explain to you why. On your qualified accounts, and qualified money is money that 401k, IRA, it's money that's qualified, that it was paid in pre-tax. You can't just take it out because it creates, you have to pay taxes on it if you take it out, or at least not pay taxes, but make a decision on that. That qualified money is always has a beneficiary named. It can be your estate, but if you're married, it has to be your spouse, unless they say, oh, no, don't worry about it. Name your girlfriend. Boy. No, just joking. It also can have contingent beneficiaries on it, which it can be your many times as the kids, especially if they're adults. So you can basically have your husband or wife as your main beneficiary, and then the contingents, usually your kids, okay? On money that's non-qualified, single account, joint account, this money does not have a beneficiary named on it because this is not considered a trust or qualified money. Many times what I'll do is, especially when someone's over 60 or 70, I say, would you like a TOD account? And a TOD is basically a transfer on death account where you can name, okay, your kids as transfer on death beneficiaries, okay? What this does is bypasses probate, okay? Now, it gets a little tricky if your net worth is over in the seven figures. Well, you have to talk to your state attorney, too, and make sure that having the TOD designation on the account's okay. Okay? But in many cases, I'd say 80 to 90% of the cases, a TOD is a much cheaper, quicker way to transfer assets after death because you don't have to deal with the probate court on these assets. Okay? Now, the other asset, real assets like your home, business, commercial buildings, rental properties, and everything else, you can't do a TOD on that. You cannot do beneficiaries on that in the traditional way except through your will. But what you want to do there is go to a good attorney and set up something called a living trust, okay? That real estate property can be put into the living trust named, and then the attorney has to go to the town hall and get everything changed over to the living trust. When that happens, when you pass on, your house will go to the beneficiaries you've named in your living trust, and you bypass probate that way. So if you do it right, and you want to do it really inexpensively on your IRAs and qualified money, make sure you have your bennies listed and contingent, especially if you're older, say older than 75. And then on your regular accounts, make sure they're TOD'd at the minimum, okay? So we have transfer and death on all of those. And then on your real property, you know, real estate and whatnot, things you can touch, feel, okay? That's what I call real property. Make sure in the living trust, and include furniture and collectibles and all that other stuff, make sure that's listed in the living trust as that being the owner, okay? Stuff like that. The whole point of it is make sure it goes through, bypasses probate to the as much as we can, okay? You're still going to have to do a federal, you're not going to do it, but your executor is still going to have 9 months after do the federal state tax return, or the attorney, whoever's helping you or your family or your executor do it. So make sure every financial account has a beneficiary on it or a TOD listed, okay? So it's very, very important. Now, unless you have no choice, do not dip into the retirement funds until you have to. Doing this will affect your financial standing dramatically. So if you leave your job, leave the 401k there until you figure out what you want to do with it. But don't liquidate it, especially if it's more than $5,000 or $10,000. This is money that you diverted for retirement. Do not spend it. There are cases when you have to, medical hardship, first-time home buyers. I get it. It's going to be a taxable event, so you're going to have to pay taxes on it. But for the most part, leave that money alone. Be patient. Don't be impulsive with that, okay? Plus, you're going to be charged a substantial penalty if you're under 59 and a half. On top of the regular taxes, they're going to hit you with a 10% penalty. And then you'll have a tax bill to deal with. So keep all these factors in mind and make cashing out early your last resort. Not your first, but your last. Now, if you're a parent, spend time teaching your children about money. Your children pick up on money messages based on how they see us use it. So even quick words of wisdom when it comes to money issues can go a long way. You know, it's kind of weird to think of things this way, but one sentence can change someone's life. Said at the right time, said in the right way, by the right person, a teacher, a principal, a parent, a grandparent, a word of encouragement, advice about something they're going on in life. I mean, I drilled into my boy's head that debt was bad, assets are good, you know. And basically, I think all three of them are really, you know, really good that way. But I drilled it into him because I saw so many horror stories, you know, going up through the business of people. When I was on Wall Street, I'd see these kids start making a lot of money as brokers. And we had a sales manager. I'll just divert a minute. We had a sales manager named Jordan. Jordan would have his sales meeting 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon and tell all these young salesmen, go out and spend money this weekend. Jordan's theory as a sales manager to these young brokers was, if you were in debt or you were in hock, you'll work a lot harder. And he says, and I prefer married guys over single guys because he figured they would work harder, you know? So, you know, And I say guys because the 98% of the brokers back in the day in the 80s when I was coming up through were men. You know, it's not that way today, and that's a good thing. I think women versus men, they're very interesting, different decision makers. One of the toughest things I have as a financial guy, when I sit across the office and a couple comes in, this is something I still struggle with after 38 years. I'll be talking to the couple, all right? And I look at the wife, then I look at the husband, then I look at the wife, and one of them will smile, always, all right? Problem is with that is you tend to want to dwell on the person that's smiling at you, and the one with their arms crossed looking at you like, yeah, I don't know if I believe this guy. That's the one you tend to want to avoid. And as a disciplined person that works with couples, you have to be able to go back and forth and give them equal time and let them know that, you know, I don't know who the decision maker is yet. Sometimes I know, but I try to do it in an equal way. It's a very hard thing to do. And notice next time you're with a salesperson, see if they favor you or your spouse, okay? See who they look at most of the time. And I'll if you smile first before your spouse does, I'll guarantee you that salesperson, okay, that financial professional, whoever you're talking to, that doctor, that architect, whoever, will key in on you further, because I think what happens is, you know, subconsciously we seek approval. So when we get the smile, we go, okay, this is the person who wants to listen to actually and understanding, you know, or is interested in what I'm saying. Because sometimes you'll have a couple in the office, and one couldn't care less. That's her job. That's his job and stuff like that. And I basically say, that may be the case, but you're the equal owner. And if something happens to that primary, I need you to be ready if you're needed, you know, especially in the backup. So I don't let them off the hook because I think it's very, very important. And then I know that I've made strides is when one the couple comes in a couple of times, and then one of the spouses comes back. It's usually the primary money person. And they come back and they say, okay, we need to do this, 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 and this. And then I know they've agreed and everything's moved along slowly. But it's one of those little things, quirks in life, that it's kind of unspoken, but I still struggle with from time to time. And just letting you know why, because it's hard to talk to two people about stuff that is so important and integral to them. But in any case, come on back. If you want to get my Retirement 10 Commandments or set up a free financial review, call me at the office, 860-415-9614, or go to my website, www.obrienretired.com. Talk to you in a few minutes. Bye-bye. America, Dennis O'Brien, Retirement Life and Investing Show. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Looks like the weather, early in the week they thought it would rain, but now it looks pretty good. A little overcast at times, but overall I think the Mystic Food Fair out at the old Mystic Village is going to do well and whatnot. You know, I use a lot of math in my job. I used to sit in math class and go, what do I need this stuff for, you know? But it winds up that the job has a lot of math, and I don't know if your job has a lot of math, but my computer database that I use to rank stocks and ETF indexes was actually designed by a mathematician in North Carolina. It took about 5 years after I signed up after 9/11. It took me about 5 years to understand really how to use it. You know, there was surface stuff, but to really understand how I could fit it into what I do, it takes a while. And, you know, after years of listening to, in the business, listening to opinions by analysts, and I just decided after 9/11, I needed a more non-emotional analytical approach to ranking companies and giving me a heads up. If I'm getting nervous about the market, it means the soldiers are leaving the battlefield. The indexes may be unchanged, you know, the Dow, but underneath the surface, there's deterioration going on. And this program looks at all 8,000 stocks and tells me when the buy-sell ratio on the charts is changing, Okay. And I'll give you an example of it. In 2008, we all know what happened in 08, 09, okay? They let a federal primary dealer go into bankruptcy 7 weeks before a presidential election, threw the country into paralysis, the financial markets froze, massive layoffs, nobody, factories closed, suicides. It was horrible. 40% decline in the markets and whatnot. But in the months leading up to that, I noticed that the buy-sell ratio on the underlying 8,000 companies, the soldiers kept leaving the field and never came back on. And what I mean by that is when the buy-sell ratio is one, it's neutral. For every company that's a buy, there's one that's a sell, okay? And that's neutral, okay? When it gets down to 0.1, we have only one buy and 10 sells, it's very oversold. And chances are we're going to get a bounce, whether it's permanent or not, I don't know. But during that spring, summer, and fall leading in 08, the buy-sell ratio went 0.4, 0.5, 0.6, back down to 0.5, 0.4, never got any traction. And that told me that there was actually no underlying strength. The Fed had been raising rates. Fall was coming. And I was extremely, extremely anxious. Because now I had no idea that the Treasury Department and these rocket scientists down in D.C. would allow a federal primary dealer to go into bankruptcy 7 weeks before a presidential election. That, to me, is absolutely stunning, okay? Because the unspoken rule in D.C., Wall Street, was always 6 months leading up to a presidential election, the Fed is supposed to stop what they're doing and not to be accused of favoring one party or another, you know, getting rid of the incumbent by raising rates, helping the incumbent by lowering rates. It's supposed to stay out of it, you know, 3, 4, 6, usually 6 months was kind of the unspoken rule. Not in 08. In 08, they did something that still is a head-scratcher, okay? And it changed the course of the country. It enabled the federal government to do a bailout and then to control the banks. And it's had long-reaching implications because the banks still are being controlled very strongly by the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve has given them a big group hug and has not let go. And how they do that is they require them to leave money with the Federal Reserve, and they pay them. But this money is at the Federal Reserve and all those assets they bought instead of being lent out. So as the economy recovers, we never really get into that third or fourth, fifth gear because the banks are still being hamstring. And this is all because of 08, 09. But my original point was the math that I use is very, very important in the business, and I need to use it continuously. Now, when I go to pick stocks out of 8,000 companies in the database, there's about 300 that warrant any consideration. I call it my Hall of Fame screen. And the reason I call it Hall of Fame is because in Major League Baseball, only 5% of major leaguers make it to the Hall of Fame. And that's pretty much true of entrepreneurs and managers. Only 5% are worthy of our hard-earned investment dollars. This is what I call the Millennium Portfolio. Why the name? Because they believe, and in many cases determine the success and failure of these companies based on their choices in tech, retail, entertainment. Technology is disrupting every industry. And these companies that the Millenniums are using, okay, in their day-to-day lives, Amazon, Facebook, Apple, all these companies, and I'm not telling you to go out and buy them because they've run up a lot, and I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of these companies are way ahead of themselves. But these are an example of millennium companies that these millenniums are using. And these companies have a superior business model that's very difficult for the competition to overcome. Because if they could come in and overcome it, they could lower their profit margins by undercutting them. They can't even make it to the beach. They're stymied because eventually a kid in, like I was talking about earlier, in a dorm room, is going to come up with another idea that nobody saw coming. Now, who saw Mark Zuckerberg coming with Facebook? Nobody. He created a whole new industry, a whole new advertising model, which nobody saw. It's just absolutely incredible. That's one of the reasons I love this country is who knows what's coming next? A guy like Elon Musk that comes from South Africa. These people are 5%ers. They're Hall of Famers. Whether you think Elon Musk is full of it or not, you can't deny what he's done. And so these are the people that you got to look and go, I want to give him some of my hard-earned investment money or not. And that's a decision that you and I would make together. So these are the things, you know, we can talk about and go from there. So I just wanted to talk about it a little bit because it's very, very important. Now, let's get back to debt, okay? Because I know you get tired of listening on the debt, but, you know, many times these business owners and retirees will get advice from a CPA. And most CPAs do a fantastic job with your taxes and do a little planning with you, too. But from time to time, I'll disagree with your CPA. And that's my job. And your job, your CPA is his job to disagree with me if I got into the tax side. And the reason I'll disagree with a CPA from time to time is because sometimes they don't give the big picture advice, okay? Sometimes tax deductions are fine, but the big picture risk reduction is more important. The contractor wants to justify buying a brand new truck because he can depreciate the truck and get the taxes, and the CPA might encourage this. But it creates tremendous risk with the payments over the years, and what if business goes down and suffers? Big picture risk. As well as, I've had CPAs tell clients, do not pay off your mortgage because you need the tax deduction in retirement. Well, that's a load. To me, that is a non-starter, and I disagree vehemently. And it's up to the client ultimately to decide which the way they want to go. But my job is to say, listen, if you got two car payments and a mortgage payment, and they're totaling you $3,200 a year, and my job is to get you ready for retirement, and I want you to have everything paid off. That's like having, if you get everything paid off, that's like having a $3,200 pension payment. Money you're not paying out, money you are keeping every month, okay? And that lowers your risk. It helps you, anything that comes up, an emergency, you'll be better prepared and everything else. The tax deduction's nice, but it's not the reason to have debt. Especially when your retirement and your income can't grow as quickly as it can, as it could in the past. So, some of the advice that people get, I will disagree with. And it's nothing against the CPA. The CPA and I, we make golf together and we still disagree over it. I respect people that disagree and honestly believe what they believe. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? That doesn't make them a bad guy or whatnot. Okay? So I just wanted you to know that. Now, bear in mind that at O'Brien Retirement, we don't charge by the hour, so our clients are always welcome to call us with any questions, concerns about financial decisions to be made. All you do is call me at 860-415-9614, and forward to my cell. If I'm in a meeting on the phone or doing something, especially on the weekend, might take me a little while to get back to you, but eventually I will. Now, we have all the items for personal meaning to us, but it wouldn't be of value to most anybody else. So there's items in the house that may be photos, mementos, very important. If you have an estate plan, it gives you the opportunity to put in writing things you want to go to who, okay? And you should always do that. Now, the other thing is if you come into sudden wealth, an inheritance, a lawsuit settlement, a lottery win, I've dealt with a couple of lottery winners. Very interesting. Don't tell anybody. That's the first thing is do not call the phone tree. Do not call everybody. Once again, sudden decisions, sudden changes. Sleep on it. All right. Call somebody who will keep their mouth shut, like me. All right. Make an appointment. Come in. Let's talk about it. Let's see if you're ready. It's going to present wonderful opportunities, but it does present some complications that you have to have. It's good to have a second opinion on people, especially people have seen it before, and it'll give you the good things and the bad things. And finally today, I just want to leave you with this, is that whatever you do, practice positivity in your life. Try to help someone. Smile at everyone you meet. Reach out if someone needs help. I saw someone do something so kind for someone this week. Person struggling a little bit with their startup business. This person reached out and said, you know what? I will pay your fee for this networking group for the following year because I believe in you. Well, OMG, the room got silent. Tears started to flow. And it was the most wonderful moment I've seen in this networking group. And I was just so moved by what this person volunteered to do. There are good people out there. So find them. Surround yourself with them. There's people out there that are rooting for you, want you to do well. And I wish and I pray that all of you have peace and serenity in your lives. Have a great week, everyone. This is Dennis O'Brien.